Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey there, welcome back to another great episode of the Geekly Legacy Podcast. David here with my best buds in the world recovering from their turkey hangover, Justin Randy. How you doing, Justin?
Fabulous, thank you.
How you doing, Randy?
I'm just about, have all the turkey out of my system, because you know I got to get blood tested at work and I can't show positive for that shit.
Colonic?
Yeah, can't test positive for that for the thighs and the breast?
Yeah, oh man. But as soon as I get tested, I'm going right back to that breast.
are you a dark meat or a light meat kind of guy, Randy?
I am a white meat kind of guy. Mainly, I think I just...
White meat for a turkey, but dark meat for the ladies.
Aw, yeah. No, I just always grew up preferring breast meat.
Nice. What about you, Justin? That is. Do you have a preference?
I do the breast meat. I can't do no... giant turkey leg off a bone thing. It's just not my jam. I smother a gravy anyway, but well, my plate is very earthy tones.
It's a
lot of gravy, a lot of like mashed potatoes and the biscuits that are brown, and then the turkey turns brown from all the gravy.
A lot of earth tones, but not a goddamn sprig of green on there.
Yeah, nothing green.
It's such a sad looking plate.
You got a roll over there.
Usually two, because I gotta use one roll to sop up everything that's left on my plate.
I like to open my roll and put my turkey and my mashed potatoes and my stuffing and my gravy all in like a roll, mm-hmm. Make a little turkey sandwich.
I do that for leftovers. I don't do it for the now time.
For the main event.
Yeah.
I do it all the time, and I'm usually the asshole with the big old turkey leg.
Ugh, can't do it. Well, you're a dad.
It's not.
You're at that point where you're the worst one to come out of the bathroom. You'll eat whatever anybody else doesn't want. You dress the worst out of your family. It's just what happens when you become a daddy.
Yeah, you're probably
your fault.
Right.
It's the laws of nature.
I've been trying my best dad jokes on the kids, trying to embarrass them all the time.
See?
I'm sure they love you for it, too.
Oh, man. I'm just like the king of just like chlorophyll, more like borophyll, for like everything the kids will say. Luke is not terribly thrilled at that prospect. But anyways, I'm glad you guys all had a great Thanksgiving. Since it was Thanksgiving, you know, wasn't a ton of news, but we got a couple things that I think are worth talking about. We're recording this Tuesday night, which means, unfortunately, we're going to miss talking about the big Avengers Infinity War trailer, which you will have seen by now by the time you listen to this. And I'm sure it's awesome, and there's like, pachoo, pachoo, Captain America's got like a beard, and Iron Man's like, stop, and Thor has an eye.
Will shoot.
Yeah, or my mom will shoot. But I guess Thor's going to have his eye back.
Wow.
Kevin Feige had kind of said that that wasn't like a permanent thing. Like he's going to have his eye, he's going to have a scar from the event, but in Infinity War, Thor will not be a one-eyed son of a bitch.
I don't like that.
I don't know.
I like battle damage Thor.
We'd love to hear what you have to think about say about the trailer. Battle damage, yeah, it's always good. But let us know what you think about the trailer. Tweet us at Geek Legacy and tell us about it. Kevin Feige's been doing a big tour, Justin, and he's been talking about, you know, Infinity War or Avengers 4. And we were all pretty vocal that when Avengers 2 came out, we were kind of disappointed that they kept teasing Civil War and telling us that the next thing is going to be great, and they didn't let us, like, ruminate on Part 2, Age of Ultron. With him talking so much about Part 4 now, he's talking about the consequences and the fallout from Part 4 and the potential deaths, which we'll get to in a second. Do you think that they're looking past Infinity War when they should be putting all of their eggs in that basket at this point?
I don't know. I can't. It's hard for me to argue against the MCU at this point. They got it all figured out. And even when I hate something like Doctor Strange, the whole rest of the world loved it. So, I don't know. I'm I am the wrong person to ask.
All right. Well, it's great. We have another person, Randy. Now, is this just... I mean, people give DC so much shit for being so reactionary and not planning things out. Is this a feather in... Is this a feather in Marvel's cap? You know, they got this shit so planned out that he can intelligently talk about a movie that's 4 years away or 3 years away. Is that...
I think it's fantastic because the one thing that could torpedo a big franchise or any big franchise, not just this one, but is feeling like a ship without a rudder. You know, you gotta have a destination in mind. You gotta have a plan. And if you really want to milk these properties for all they're worth, and you know Disney and Marvel do want to milk it, you gotta have a plan.
Gotta have a plan. All right, that's fair. Well, one of the things that Feige teased was death. You know, that there will be severe consequences. You know, we understand that, you know, people have contracts, and we understand some contracts are coming up. Justin, who do you think is, of the main six, we're not talking tertiary characters, of the main six, you know, your Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, Scarlet Witch, Black Widow, and Thor, of those six, who do you think is the most likely to not survive Avengers 4, and do you think we'll see a major death in Avengers 3?
excuse me. I don't think any of those people are going to die. I think Vision will die. I think maybe someone close to the six that you mentioned might die. Like a
Pepper. Even in Avengers 4?
Yeah. What is this one? Is this next one Avengers?
This is 3.
3?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe in 4. I don't know, man. I feel like it would be weird to kill somebody. Like, at least one of the six. I don't want to believe it. I believe that Vision will die, and I believe that someone close to the six will die. Like, maybe, like, a Pepper Potts dies. But I don't want to see anyone die, and because I don't want to see it, I refuse to believe it. I'm in denial.
Do you think Vision dies in 3 or 4?
I think he dies right from the get-go, because he's so powerful that they got to take out one of their big heavy hitters immediately to show the real threat. So I think he dies in the first act of Avengers 3.
Nice. Right. What about you, Randy? What do you think? Any of the big six going to bite the bullet in 4, and anyone important going to die in 3?
Ooh, I think somebody's definitely going to die in 3, and as to who dies in 3 and 4, I don't want to pin down what's going to happen in which movie, but I will say I have two predictions. I think we're going to see the death of both Iron Man and Captain America.
What?
Ooh, shit. Shots fired! Just timestamp it.
Yeah.
I don't think...
I mean, we might as well kill off Thor and get a female to replace him, kind of like how they have a female Thor in the comics now. I think it's going to be a giant shift in the old guard to the new. Just look what they're doing in Star Wars movies. They're killing off all the original cast members and out with the old and with the new. I think if they're going to keep the MCU running forward without any kind of big reboots, that's going to be what they have to do. Robert Downey Jr. doesn't need the money. You know, he's probably only contracted for X number of movies at this stage in the game anyway, and I'm sure he'd like to do other things. He really has, you know, embodied the role of Tony Stark, but I really, I think there's got to be a point when even he's kind of like, all right, guys, I'm done.
Right.
Back to the hookers and blow.
Yeah, I could see one of two scenarios playing out. I think Loki and Vision both die in the first act. I think they're both just toast. But I think in 4, I think that Captain America is the one character that has unique skills. You know, he's the leader, to where it would be something that if they're going to change the game, they'd have to get a new leader. And Captain America is that unifying force, you know. All of the other characters have skill sets that cross over with other people, but it's the leadership and the experience that makes Captain America so special. So I could definitely see them losing him as kind of the rallying call of why the Avengers is still important, because I'm assuming that's going to be a theme going throughout Infinity War and Part 4 is, do we need the Avengers anymore? And I think do. That Captain... I do. I think Captain America will sacrifice himself in some way. The other scenario I could see is, like Randy was saying, they could kill Iron Man and then have Tony Stark's consciousness be the new Jarvis. That way you still keep Robert Downey Jr., at least his voice alive, and opens up the possibility of something else. And you can also stick someone else in the Iron Man suit like they've done in the comics and stuff like that. So I think one of the big two will die at the end of 4 or sometime in 4. I will be sad because I love both of them, and I would happily watch Iron Man and Captain America movies forever. But that's what I think. Am I crazy, Justin?
I do think you are crazy.
All right. Well, that's par for the course.
I don't want you ruining everything. You're ruining the Marvel movies. They're going to listen to this podcast, and they're going to say, that Edmondson, he's on to something. And they're going to change it all.
Well, we know both Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. are both reaching the ends of their contracts, but, I mean, of course, a lot of other characters are as well. Chris Pratt will reach the end of his contract by Avengers 4, but I don't see them wanting to lose the Guardians of the Galaxy. Mark Ruffalo is signed on. He has one movie, I think, after Infinity War. Jeremy Renner's last movie that he's on the books for now is Avengers 4. So there's a lot of people whose contracts are coming up, and so we'll have to, it'll be really exciting to see what happens. But I'm with you, Justin. Vision is toast in Avengers 3, and I think Thor dies in the first, like, not Thor, Loki dies in the first, like, 15 minutes.
Oh, no.
He's going to show up on that ship, and Thanos is going to say, you!
Yeah.
You did this! And he's just going to, like, Loki's going to be like, oh, look, I'm Loki, I'm so charming, and he's going to fucking just catalyst for Thor.
Oh.
Rip him in half.
Like,
you disappeared at just the right moment, just to add suspense there.
It was like a tease, but all right. Well, that's Crazy Town Banana Pants. Almost as Crazy Town Banana Pants is spending $1 billion on 4 Avatar films, but James Cameron is wanted to assure us that he's not being flippant with his money. They're going to make 2 and 3 back to back, and if they're a success, then they'll make 4 and 5 back to back. So. Justin, we've talked Avatar for the last, like, 15 years, it seems like.
Since we've been doing this podcast, that's for sure.
Yeah. Since before the first Avatar, we're talking about these sequels that are supposed to come out, like, 10 years ago. I remember the first time they announced the Avatar sequels was before Disney acquired Lucasfilm, and Disney has now produced, by the time Part 2 of Avatar comes out, they will have produced an entire new trilogy of Star Wars films, so... Is Avatar still relevant, Justin?
I would say right now, no. But I think once we get that trailer, everyone will just be like, oh, yeah, that's what it's all about. And get excited again. I think it's silly when we talk about parts 4 and 5, but James Cameron is one of the best action film directors ever. And he knows how to make a movie, and he, I think, is going to put together something really special. And until we see it, it's just kind of on the back burner.
Yeah, you had mentioned, like, when you watch Avatar, that, like, the music and the theme suck you in. I think that's one of the things that Cameron does better than probably anyone is he makes you give a shit. And, I agree with what you said, that it was... Most people are shitting on the movie, but I think a lot of that is that they're, you know, once anything gets super popular, people have to shit on it. So,
mm-hmm. Isn't that funny how that works?
It is. People are terrible with their podcasts and their blogs and their Twitter feeds.
And you with Zack Snyder and the DC EU.
History will prove me right in both of those aspects. Are you going to sit here and tell me that the DC EU is in a good place and has produced a litany of good films?
I wouldn't say that it's produced a litany of good films, but as far as being in a good place, they were coming off a really strong from Wonder Woman, and me, someone that hates a lot of things, walked out of the theaters for Justice League saying, well, it didn't suck. So I do think that
high praise.
They're in a good place.
I agree with you. It didn't suck. It was in focus and it was coherent. I would venture to say that Justice League did not suck. I wouldn't say it was good. I would say it was like Doctor Strange level, and Doctor Strange.
Oh yeah. I don't like it.
It's not great. It's just Iron Man with a different character.
And it's not good.
Oh yeah. Well, there's that too. Well, Randy, what? Now he's saying we're not going to. He's like holding 4 and 5 hostage unless we see 2 and 3. What would you consider a success for Avatar 2 or 3, keeping in mind that the original made $2.7 billion worldwide?
That's a lot.
Do we know what the budget is for 2 and 3?
For the 4 movies total, it's $1 billion. So I guess we can assume that it's half a billion, $500 million, so $250 each.
Production budget, and you know they're going to dump a bunch into marketing, probably another couple hundred million. I would say they're going to make at least half a bill. At least the part two will make at least half a billion.
Like worldwide?
Worldwide, yeah, but I think it's going to make more. That's just my conservative prediction. And it's going to have to, if it's going to cost $250 million to make, it's going to need to at least make $500 million just to make its money back and be considered to be a commodity worth pursuing.
Right, yeah, definitely to make, so... Justice League, Justin's favorite movie of all time, cost $300 million to make, and their break-even point is something like $875 million between marketing and theater costs.
They did a whole lot of marketing for that movie, though.
Yeah. So I think that, and I remember Spectre was something like, Spectre's break-even point at, they were like $180 million budget, was somewhere in the neighborhood of like $680 or something like that. It's a... At 250, they're probably looking at, like, anything under 8 is losing money.
I think that it'll do 8. I was going to say 750, but I think 8's good. Especially around the... We're talking total box office, right? Like,
yeah, worldwide.
Domestic? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Totally. 8's... assuming we are still on this earth when the fucking movie comes out, I think it'll do over 8.
Yeah, I think it's Foreign Hall. It's Foreign Hall was something like $1.9 billion. I want to say it made like $765 million in the U.S. I think, and then almost $2 billion in the foreign market. So I was surprised that your numbers were so low. I was going to say that the two would make probably like $1.5 billion.
$1.5 billion part two.
Part two, I think, will make $1.5 billion.
I don't want it to break a billion.
Oh, it has to. I mean, it doesn't break a billion, then they'll take James Cameron out and shoot him.
This seems like stupid money, though.
That's, I mean, like, part one like made $2.7 billion.
It's like no one's won the lottery for 3 months, and everybody's going out to buy a Powerball. That's
Jurassic World made $1.5 billion.
Did it really?
Yeah.
God, that's not
even good. The last two Fast and Furious movies have made $1.5
billion. Oh, my God. I hated the last Fast and Furious movie.
It's not good.
I liked the one before that, but I did not.
And it's the one with the most Statham, too.
Yeah. He's cool.
Yeah. But, we're going to get, like, a shitload of Avatar movies, and I guess it's got to pay for that land in Disneyland, or Animal Kingdom in Disney World.
And all that unobtainium.
Yeah, unobtainium is not easy to find.
What, do you think they'll just become tanium if they stay there long enough?
They have to rename it.
Talk about dad jokes.
You sure you don't have any kids? That's a good dad.
You can have that one.
I'll take it.
I will forfeit that joke to you. You
can. My kids ever see Avatar? That's what I'll change it to. But piggybacking off the box office, Force Awakens, when it came out, it made just a dump truck full of money. It made about $250 million opening weekend just in the U.S. alone. Obviously, that was the return of Star Wars. It was nostalgia. It was member berries. It was, let's see what's going on. Box office trackings for The Last Jedi right now have it in between like the $200, $210 million mark, which is nothing to sneeze at. Do you think, Randy, you think these estimates are right on? Do you think they're high? You think they're low? Obviously, box office tracking is not an exact science, but Let's go right in the middle. 205. Do you think it makes more or less than 205 opening weekend domestically?
Opening weekend?
Opening weekend. Force Awakens did 250.
Holy shit, man. That's
I think so. I think so, just because it is going to be the continuation of characters that we know and love. And, yes, I think it will break 205.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's got to.
What say you, Justin? Plus or over or under 205?
I think over. You saying that likable characters, there isn't a single character in this new saga that I don't like. Well, I don't really care for Kylo Ren, but I mean, I love Rey, I love Finn, I even like Poe. Can't wait to jizz all over myself when I finally get a Luke Skywalker. And I am so ramped up to see this movie. So I think it's going to do very, very well. I think it'll crush 205. I don't think it'll be 250, but I think it'll be over 205.
Every time you hate on Kylo, it kills me a little inside.
Fucking worse. And what's with that tapeworm scar on his face? I hate it.
Do you hate Kylo too, Randy?
I did after watching The Force Awakens, but he's growing on me. Like, after the last couple of years, he's grown on me.
Growing in and, you like a tapeworm.
and I like the carbon fiber Band-Aid on his face.
So stupid. So dumb.
Kylo Ren is easily my favorite of the new characters. I love him so much.
He doesn't even do anything. He beats his chest like King Kong. He has fits.
Does kill Han Solo.
The only thing he ever did was stop the blastable. What?
Every bounty hunter in the universe is trying to kill this old man, and he was the only one able to do it.
Ugh. And he cheated.
Did he?
Yeah, he's like, hey, give me a hug.
I need your help. Hold this for a second.
It's like that trick where you give somebody a bottle of water and then they look in it and then you squeeze it all over their face. Yeah. That's kind of what he did with the lightsaber.
Where he like shook up the can of Coke and said, can you open this for me?
Yeah. And no, the snakes popped out. Like the jelly beans.
Yeah. And the peanut brittle.
The can of peanut brittle, yeah. Hey, you see it right there. That's another dad thing. No one eats peanut brittle except for fathers. That's so funny. It's the dumbest thing ever.
You don't like peanut brittle?
No.
It's delicious. Nobody I loved it before does. I was a dad.
My dad likes peanut brittle. He's the only person that eats it. We get that as a Christmas gift. It's automatic de facto to dad.
You like peanut brittle, Randy?
I do like peanut brittle. I haven't had it in years, but I remember really liking it.
Yeah, I can't tell you last time I had it, but it's damn tasty. Damn tasty. And just because we like number three, well, I guess we'll go to the third box office story in a row. Justice League, Justin's favorite movie, remember? You know, it had a pretty decent second weekend. It made like 40-something for the four-day and something like 55 for the five-day. So it only had like a 50% drop-off from the first week, which is a good holdover. You know, typically movies, especially large movies like this, have a 65 to 70% drop-off. So it didn't drop off nearly as much as the prognosticators thought it would. But it's still estimating that they'll probably lose Warner Brothers between $50 and $100 million when all is said and done. There's a fantastic piece Variety wrote. If you ever have any questions about the box office and like how it works and you know how receipts translate into money for studios, how much the movie theaters take and whatnot, how much marketing plays a factor in it, even all the way down to like residuals the actors will earn from future viewings on like paid cable and stuff like that, I'll try to find the article and tweet it out. But it's an incredible read. And so anyone interested in the financial end of show business should definitely check it out. Does that surprise you, Randy, that the DC version of the Avengers is probably going to end up losing money?
I mean, I don't want to jump on the bandwagon of hate to DCEU because it seems to be like the cool thing everybody's wanting to do is hate on them right now. So I'm not going to be that guy. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say I even watched Batman vs. Superman over the weekend just so I could prepare myself for Justice League. 2 weeks after it comes out is when I'll probably end up watching it, but that doesn't matter. I don't know, man. I'm not surprised because of just the negativity that people seem to be feeling toward it, and that being a big motivating factor in people not wanting to go pay money to go see this movie. So I'm not surprised at all. And I know they put a lot of money into the marketing, and I know they put a lot of money into the reshoots. And they're banking a whole lot on this being their Avengers, but I'm not surprised.
You buried the lead there, Randy. You watched BVS?
I did. I didn't even tell you guys. I had all the premium channels were free this weekend because it was a holiday weekend. So I just set my DVR to record a shit ton of movies on like HBO and Cinemax and stuff. So I finally saw BVS. And I will say that I actually kind of liked it. My expectations were so low. So from the last 2 years, all I've done is heard people just unzip their pants and squat over that movie and just take a big old steaming dump on it. It's all I've heard the last 2 years. And my expectations were rock bottom when I came into it. And sitting there, I was like, from the beginning of the movie, I'm like, huh, well, this is fun. This is pretty decent. I'm not hating it. And then by the time it ended, I was like, you know what? That wasn't nearly as bad as people said it was. This coming from a guy who generally doesn't like a lot of things that other people like, and I'm not trying to be contrarian this time. Maybe I was just in a good particular mood that evening. I don't know, but I enjoyed it.
Help me break the internet here real quick, Randy.
Yeah.
Rank these movies for me.
Oh, God.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
All right.
Winter Soldier.
Oh.
Batman v Superman.
BVS, Guardians, Winter Soldier.
Is that 1, 2, 3?
That's 1, 2, 3.
Fuck you. There's no way you could physically think.
I need to see Winter Soldier again. I've never even seen it all the way through. I fell asleep the first time.
So funny.
In the theater.
I'm glad you like BBS. I'm glad somebody did.
Did you like watching Batman just be an ogre and beat the shit out of so many bad guys?
Yeah, just kind of like a monosyllabic, just kind of, yeah.
Yeah, he was menacing. I liked him just beating the shit out of people.
He was. He was a scary motherfucker.
And he kills people. Yeah. He blows them up with rockets.
And he has no problem just, like, swinging around guns and stuff. I'm like,
or tires on chains.
Yeah.
Jesse Eisenberg eating Jolly Ranchers.
Oh, that was weird.
Yeah, like, putting it in a dude's mouth and licking his fingers. I'm like, ah!
We're sending jars of piss to senators.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And like, Granny's peach tea.
Wheelchairs with bombs.
You know, I think that I probably would have enjoyed Batman v Superman a lot more if I had seen it 2 years later.
Yeah.
Or if Jesse Eisenberg wasn't in it.
No, he's terrible.
He's, don't get me wrong, he's definitely the weak link. But overall, I found it kind of forgivable.
Ugh, he was in it way too much. I hated his ass.
You know how you can kind of make it palatable, or at least I guess how I, in the back of my mind, made it palatable? Because he doesn't look anything like how I associate Lex Luthor should look. He's just a different character. In my mind, he's not Lex Luthor. He's just some other maniacal billionaire out to get Superman and Batman or whatever. Don't look at him as Lex Luthor. Think of him as some completely other made-up character, and it won't be nearly as bad.
Probably a good idea.
Just shares the name.
Yeah.
Just a happy coincidence. all right. Well, what about you, Justin? You have seen Justice League. You know, you were on the... You and I hated DCU before it was cool. What do you think about the prospect of Justice League losing, you know, $50 to $100 million? And what is it... So you think that puts a damper on anything DCEU, or you think they're just going to be like, well, we've learned our lessons, let's move forward?
I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that before Batman v Superman came out, we were talking about if this movie doesn't make $1 billion, then they are in trouble. It's three of the best heroes that DC has to offer, and if it can't cross the $1 billion mark, then that franchise is in trouble. And
right.
then Wonder Woman came out and just blew everyone away, and then this movie it's not terrible, but I think so many people are just irritated with what DC is doing that and Warner Brothers is doing that they're comfortable watching it on HBO or Redboxing it, and that is unfortunate. Especially like now. Like, now's the perfect time, right? Because Batman v Superman's on HBO, Suicide Squad's on HBO. You can watch these movies. And then with Black Friday, Wonder Woman's like $10. So you can catch up in 2 seconds for next to nothing. So everyone's just going to think, well, I'll just see it next Black Friday. You know what I mean? There's no sense of urgency to see it. Whereas with Marvel movies, you're the asshole that hasn't seen the movie when it comes out. You know what I mean? It's kind of weird. And it makes me sad that it's failing at the box office.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I mean, it's hard to believe that DC has yet to cross the $1 billion mark in any of their films. And obviously, you know, financial success doesn't mean anything when, you know, Transformers Age of Extinction made $1.3 billion. Marvel has 3 movies that have crossed the $1 billion mark. And so I think that the fact that Batman v Superman and Justice League, neither one will be able to pass $1 billion, is alarming. I don't know if that's the right word, but, you know, Wonder Woman was an incredibly well-received movie. I think it ended up at 8-something. But even that, you know, the third act, you know, whatever comic book movie, I think that they needed Justice League to be a home run, and it wasn't. And I think they should really take the time to make Flashpoint their next big event movie, almost like a Justice League, like 1.5, mm-hmm. kind of like how Marvel did with Civil War, and just really figure out like what they want to do. And because I want the DCU to be successful. I know I shit on it. I know I shit on like most of the things that have come out of it, but you know, I want all the Conker movies to be good. I don't want any of them to be bad, because if they're bad, they'll stop making them, and I don't want that to happen. So I know I hate on Mr. Snyder, but I wish nothing but the best for DC films.
I want them to be successful too, and I'm tired of saying bad things about them, and I'm just gonna roll with the punches. Fuck it. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll, Dave.
That's right. Life's a garden. Dig it.
I like that better.
Joe Dirtay.
Life is a sport. Drink it up. All sport. Yeah. Michael Jordan and a llama.
Yeah. It's got electrolytes. It's what playing for scrap.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so.
What's next?
That's it. It was, like I said, it was kind of a slow week. There wasn't a ton that went on. A lot of box office numbers, a lot of what fors and who has it. You know, tomorrow's going to be a big day, obviously, because they're going to unveil the Infinity War trailer. I think that's going to be a big thing. And I think a lot of people are kind of holding their collective breaths, because we got the Infinity War trailer. You know, we're only a couple weeks out from Star Wars, and it's going to get exciting. It's going to be an exciting holiday season. I can't wait for The Last Jedi and Star Wars.
What? Okay, so we're talking about comic book movies a lot. So then I just typed in 10 best superhero movies.
Okay.
And here's a fun little list brought to us by Newsarama.
Ooh.
Newsarama.
Sounds like we should take it seriously. All right.
Sounds like it should play before like a 1940s black and white movie.
This, yeah.
This know, just right? in.
Not another newsreel. For all you Roger Rabbit fans out there. There was a time when every single podcast we quoted Roger Rabbit. Do you remember that? It was,
oh, yeah.
I do.
Like a good year.
That was a glorious time.
I know. Yeah. That's great. We're bringing it back. So I don't know if these are any... You would think it's in a particular order, but they're not necessarily numbered. So we're just going to treat it as lowest to highest. How about that?
Sounds good.
So we'll say this is number 10. Logan, 2017. I enjoyed it.
I'd give it a top 10.
Well, We'll say number 9 is Batman from 1989.
Ooh.
I think that deserves to be on this list, especially since that was probably the movie for me that made me more excited about superheroes than anything.
Yeah, I think that and Donner's Superman were the really only two legitimate, like, serious takes on comic book characters. Everything else was like Roger Corman or people thinking that no one wants to see a comic book movie.
That's true. And Superman was a decade before.
Yeah.
Which is pretty brave. I mean, the world's always had Superman. Well, I mean, since 1938, I guess. But I have bad memories of Superman. Remember, I had the grape juice vomit incident. So it's hard for me to get behind Superman as a child. All I think about is vomit. It, like, immediately takes me to getting sick. Let's see. Spider-Man Homecoming. I think that is a little crazy to be on this list, but that's okay.
I agree with you.
So that would be, what, number 8, I guess? Wonder Woman. It's pretty good, but I don't know if it's one of the 10 best of all time.
No, I wouldn't put it in the 10 best of all time. Maybe, like, I'd say right outside, like,
yeah,
you know,
like honorable mention.
Yeah, like a low teens.
Sure.
But yeah, definitely not top 10.
Guardians of the Galaxy, 2014. Mm.
I would put that in my top 10. I know Randy would not.
Pretty good. Superman the Movie, 1978. This is it, man. This is the theme song that gets the blood flowing and gets everybody excited. When it comes on, you know that everything's going to be okay because Superman is here to save the day. That right?
Mm-hmm.
Unintentionally.
Yeah. And you know what? Superman's an interesting thing because he doesn't really ever fight a villain. He basically fights an earthquake.
Yes.
Like, it's not like him and Lex Luthor actually do battle. It's all about him just living in the world, I guess, and existing.
You see a naked baby. That's weird.
You do. It's been handled by Marlon Brando.
It's edgy, man. Next we have Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Oh, it's a good film. It's
pretty good. That's, I don't know. See, I get that it's a superhero movie, but it's a total spy movie. I like it. It doesn't feel like a superhero movie to me. It feels like a spy espionage kind of movie.
But that's it's got some really great scenes. I got, like, that elevator fight.
Oh, it's incredible. Does anybody want to get off before this starts? Yeah, that's pretty good.
Like, he knows, it's so great. He knows what's coming. There's, like, all these beefy dudes, and he's just like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah, big as shit guys, man. Huge.
Not even worried.
Iron Man, 2008. This is another one of those movies that just sort of kickstarts the generation of the superhero genre. 2008 kicked off the MCU, and we were blown away. And that's the same summer as The Dark Knight.
And Crystal Skull.
And Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, I mean, I would say in the Mount Rushmore of, you know, the importance of comic book movies, I think you have to go Donner Superman, Burton's Batman, then the X-Men, which kind of relaunched comic book movies, and then Iron Man, which was basically responsible for this huge wave. I understand the Dark Knight's importance, but that was a finite number of films to where Iron Man, I think, gets the edge because we are getting 1,000 comic book movies a year because of Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. Marvel's the... Oh, sorry, I couldn't even finish that. Marvel's The Avengers, 2012. I'm with you, Dave. It's the last little bit of this movie that makes it fun. I could skip quite a bit of it.
Yeah, let's go right to New York.
Mm-hmm. It's good shit. Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy. Oh, wow, they're counting all three of those as one.
Uh-oh.
I don't think all that's right. Fair. But I did enjoy the shit out of Batman Begins. That was a fun movie. Went to a midnight show with Tortuga. And super pumped. It got me really, really excited about Batman again.
Yeah, Batman Begins is incredible. And The Dark Knight is easily the best made comic book movie. Like, as far as, like, being a narrative feature-length film, that just happens to have a comic book character in it. It's a pretty incredible, and I understand there's hipster backlash. You know, it's not as good as everyone remembers, but The Dark Knight is an incredible film from start to finish. And Batman's not even... You could argue that Batman's not even the star of that movie.
Yeah. He's
like, there's so much going... Yeah, there's so much going on between Harvey Dent, Two-Face, and the Joker, and the gangs, and all that stuff. Like, there's not a ton of Batman in that movie, but when he shows up, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and everyone brought their A-game, too, man. Even, like, when you think of, like, the little villains, like Eric Roberts and Michael Jai White, everyone was just really, really good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's an incredibly diverse and interesting cast, but it all works.
Mm-hmm. And Batman's out in the daytime.
Yeah. And remember, I'm not wearing hockey pads.
Oh, my gosh. And he's feeling his sense of mortality, too. You know, he's getting beat up, and he's not enjoying himself. He's having a really hard time dealing. I like that.
Yeah, it's interesting that Batman doesn't want to be Batman.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, you always used to get the impression that he was just planning on being Batman till he couldn't be Batman anymore. And The Dark Knight was kind of the first time you ever saw, like, you know, I'd really like to be a billionaire playboy.
Yeah, this shit's kind of fun, buying hotels and renting the entire opera house, and it's exhausting putting on that suit.
Going out at night.
Yeah. And that is it. So it actually ranks the Batman trilogy as 1, 2, and 3, I guess you could say.
Oh, I don't like that. Mm-mm. I don't like Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. I don't even know what Bane says. I remember going to see, I want to say it was Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, and there was sort of like IMAX. The intro IMAX thing. I had no idea what the fuck Bane was saying. And then
they completely redubbed it.
I still don't know. I still barely understand what he says. Will, who was on the podcast, he has to do Bane's fucking translating for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it was rough. Yeah, it was before Ghost Protocol. If you saw an IMAX, you got the IMAX opening with the Bane, the plane hijack.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
That's definitely a cool scene. It's just, and the rest of the movie just kind of drags on.
Mm-hmm. And he's not even Batman for like the first 50 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, Batman's in like 8 minutes of that movie. Yeah, and there's like a car chase and then a fight.
Yeah, and he loses the first fight.
Badly.
Yeah, it's no good. I started rereading Nightfall. And,
oh, yeah?
It's still pretty good.
Still holds up?
Yeah, I like it a lot. The only thing that's a bit of a kicker is sort of just the art style. It's so dated. Like, that was sort of the last little bit of that early to mid-90s drawing style, you know?
Right, pre-computers.
Yeah, and everything changed after that. So, I don't know, it's a little hard on the eyes. Even with, like, I'm reading on an iPad, and I'm just like, holy shit. I think it would actually be easier to whip out the comics and actually just read the actual paper instead of looking at it on a screen, because it doesn't look good. It's weird.
Chew it.
It's like when you have those moments where you want to watch 80s commercials on YouTube, and it's like a recording of a recording of a recording, and it's like the fourth Michael Keaton in Multiplicity, or
right.
and not that good.
And it's all recorded off a standard def television played on a high def computer.
Yeah, it's not good.
Gonna eat a dolphin.
Did you guys hear about the original moon landing tapes that like NASA recorded over them on accident, like in the 70s?
No.
That's why all like the recordings that you see now look like shit, because it's like a dub of the original recordings.
Interesting.
Yeah. Dummies.
Just something else for the conspiracy theorists to add to their list of proving why it was faked.
Yeah. It was a fun article like probably like 5 or 6 years ago. where they broke down like the cost and the technical requirements for them to fake the moon landing, and they basically figured out that it would be cheaper and easier to actually go to the moon than to fake it. With how they did, with how like the they had a whole thing with how light interacts with. I'm not even going to bore you with it, but
There's no way I could go to the moon. I would want to come home, and I would hate the idea of possibly dying on my return journey.
Yeah,
I can't do it. I'm not a space boy.
It's like submarine.
Yeah, I don't do that either. I just think of like the Abyss and Michael Biehn's character getting the bends and then going crazy and then getting crushed. He doesn't get a good ending in a motion picture show.
No, not so good.
Another Cameron movie.
He knows how to make them movies there.
He does.
Yay, James Cameron. As to his 1.5 billion Avatar 2 and 1.7 billion Avatar 3.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's going to blow us away.
Yes.
I can't wait. I'm not excited yet, but like you said, Justin, when I see the first trailer.
Yeah, with the drums and the singing.
Hanging overhead and doing cool shit, and I see Steve Lang.
Yeah, with a scar.
Then I'll be like, all right, I'm ready for this.
He was in Terra Nova, you know.
He was, which wasn't a terrible show.
It got canceled.
Yeah, it did. But I enjoyed it.
Never saw
it. Did you watch Terra Nova, Justin? No, okay, never mind.
I couldn't even remember what it was called. I had to look it up really fast.
The dinosaur movie.
You know, when we were at Comic-Con, I'm like, what is this dumb show you keep telling me about? I don't understand what's happening.
No, that was a cool, it was a pretty cool show. Mm-hmm. And they just... And the ratings were fine. It was so expensive. I'm sure if it had come out today, with effects being a little bit cheaper nowadays than they were in, 2010.
They should have got the dinosaurs on loan from Disney.
Yeah.
And the best part is, they work for peanuts.
Give me a scotch on the rock. I'm nice.
And we always did 3 Roger Rabbit quotes per podcast. So I had to throw another one in there.
Yeah, one more.
He's always the liquor store guy. I'm trying to think of what our go-tos were.
I'm going to ram them.
Yep.
Had to take these big pills and drink lots of water.
And the liquor store guy, he knew. That was definitely one of them. Because
we
were talking about, have you seen this? You heard about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Even though Geek Legacy doesn't care to comment on rumors or speculation. All lies.
All lies. You guys got anything else you want to add before we sign out?
Not a goddamn thing.
I get it.
Merry-go-round broke down. Quite a loony selection for a bunch of drunken reprobates.
And how about that Brooklyn Dodgers? Big bumps or what?
Oh, did I tell you I saw 42? Did I tell you that yet?
No.
I finally got around to watch it. It just reminded me of it when you said Brooklyn Dodgers.
It's hard to hear Harrison Ford say the N-word.
Oh, I know. And then he's all, you black son of a bitch. Oh, man. I cringed a little bit. I was like, I don't think you can say that, man.
Unless you got like Jay-Z's permission or something. Did you like it?
I loved it. I have yet to see a baseball movie I don't love. I don't know what it is about it.
There's a lot of good ones out there.
Oh, I enjoyed the shit out of it, man. It is hard to watch at times just because of the cultural differences. But I definitely enjoyed the shit out of it.
Nice. Which segues into a nice reminder. I forgot to tell you. There was 2 trick-or-treaters that came to my house dressed like Dot and Dot's sister from League of Their Own.
Rad.
I gave them, like, both fistfuls of candy.
That's so
rad. If they hadn't been so young, I would have taken my picture with them. But I didn't want to take my picture with 2 7-year-old girls. But it was great. And, like the Dottie had, like, the catcher, like, old-school, like, catcher's gear on. And, yeah.
Oh, that's rad.
It was so cool.
I know the goods when I see it, and your sister's got the goods.
Sir, your knee.
Like it? That's a good movie, dude. That's probably... Okay, so Randy loves period pieces. And there's only a couple that I really enjoy. And now that I think about it, it's Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Kevin Costner's Robin Hood. I'm counting that. And A League of Their Own. All fantastic.
All great films. All great. Anything else, Justin?
I'll say Total Recall and Starship Troopers because they're in the future, but I'm still calling it a period piece.
Is that like Star Wars a period piece because it was a long time ago?
A long time ago. Yeah, it's a good point.
Has the new Doctor Who with the chick started?
No, not yet.
All right.
Chick? She's a woman.
I thought there's a Time Lord, I thought.
Oh, yeah, that too. Played by, portrayed by
a human female.
Yes.
When does that start? I haven't heard all the
hubbub.
There's always a Christmas episode before the actual season starts, and the Christmas episode is supposed to be Peter Capaldi's last. So that means we'll see her appear at the end, probably. If he regenerates in that episode. So the Christmas episode will be the first time we see her, and then it's a couple months until the season proper starts.
What happens to his ding-a-ling? Does she keep it in case like the next guy needs it?
Well, it gets turned into her sonic screwdriver.
Oh.
It's just like it's like a dildo. It's like a little pocket rocket vibrator.
Oh my god, I can already see the jokes about her poor sonic screwdriver.
Does it change with every doctor? Is it always different?
It does change with every doctor. And they better pick, like, the prop department better pick, like, the least phallic-looking thing for her just to avoid the all the ridiculousness of the internet.
It needs to be like a wooden brick.
Yeah.
Just a giant blocky mess. Shit.
I look forward to the future internet rage. I hope it just looks straight like a fucking dildo, and they're like, fuck you, internet.
You're terrible.
Internet people are awful. Not like us. Not like geeklegacy.com, where you get all your geek news and reviews. And when you're there, make sure you listen to Justin and Steven talk about video games, like Star Wars Battlefront 2 and Luke Skywalker saving the day. And, yeah, they do that every Friday. And you make sure to subscribe to that podcast feed. And then, and while you're there, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all those other things, at Geek Legacy. And until next time, we will talk to you a different day.